Will you take your Bible and turn with me to Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 7. Now, you may not really be excited about the rise and fall of empires of yesteryear, but there's something in this chapter that I think you will be excited about. And I would just like to share with you, it's a review because it's not new material, but certainly significant and well worth repeating. Daniel is in vision, and he writes what he saw in that dream. Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream. What does your Bible say next? I think the King James says telling the sum of the matter. The New King James says telling the main facts. Is that right? Evidently, there was some part of the dream that he chose not to write down. But he certainly wrote down enough that would give the dream fullness of meaning. He wrote down the main facts. Here's what he said he saw. He said, I saw in my night vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Ordinarily, we think of those four winds as representing the four directions of the compass, north, east, south, and west. We think of the great sea as being the great sea of humanity and how that this vision would impact all of humanity. He says, I saw four great beasts that came up from the sea. They were different from each other. These beasts were not like a dog, a cat, a camel, a goat, or a cow. They were different. The first one in verse 4 was like a lion. But not just an ordinary lion. It had eagle's wings. He said, I watched till its wings were plucked off. And then it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Verse 5, the second beast appears. This one is like a bear. It raised up itself on one side, had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said to it, arise and devour much flesh. He continues to tell what he dreamed. He says, I looked and there was another beast. It was like a leopard. It had on its back 4 wings of a bird. But it also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And then he says, watch this, I saw a fourth beast. Now, he doesn't give this one the characteristics that he has the previous three. He says it was dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. And what kind of teeth did it have? Had huge teeth. You know, I have some rubber teeth in my dresser drawer at home. And I've had a lot of fun out of those teeth. It completely changes the way I look. Some of you have seen those teeth and it makes you smile. They're artificial teeth. But they're big teeth. This beast has iron teeth. And this beast is doing something with those teeth. He says it was devouring. It was breaking in pieces. It was trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it. So we have 4 beasts here. One like a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then a fourth sort of nondescript composite beast, but it has features notably written of here as great iron teeth. It also says that beast had 10 horns. And among the 10 horns, he sees a small horn coming up. And that small horn grows into a large horn. And then that one destroys 3 of the original 10 horns. Now, you may not care much at all about these animals and these beasts, but I just beg you, stay with me a few minutes here. Daniel says in verse 8, as I was considering the horns, there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked up. How? What? Why does it say plucked or why does it say pulled up by the roots? Got every bit of it. There would be no living ancestors to those 3 horns, whatever that would represent. And he says, and in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, some of you men here have the gift of gab, and you can spin a tale. Some of you women, too, if you want to know the truth. But you don't speak like Daniel saw this power speaking. So, let's just pause here now. Daniel has to have some type of meaning, some type of explanation. It really bothers Daniel. And in verse 15, it says, and I, Daniel, was grieved in my body. I was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Some of you may have been unable to sleep at night at times. Circumstances in the lives of your people or even of yourself keep you from restful sleep. And you are deeply troubled. You could say that your spirit is troubled within you and you can't sleep. And I don't know exactly how it happened. I was thinking about it earlier this week. I don't think he went into another vision, but he finds somebody to talk to in verse 16, and he says, I came near to one of those that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. Well, the truth of what? The truth of those beasts. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. And you've seen these slides. I've had my slides up here on the screen of the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then this fourth beast, great and dreadfully terrible. But it is true in the biblical explanation given. He says, those great beasts which are 4 are 4 kings which shall arise out of the earth. Well, big deal. So what? We've had a lot of kingdoms on the earth. You have the Aztec Empire. You have the Ming Dynasty and the Ding Dynasty over in China. And you have the rise and fall of many different kingships in the Old Testament. So what? Here's just another 4 out of hundreds of empires that would come and go. Verse 19. Daniel says, though, I want to know the truth about the fourth beast, the one that's so different from all the others. The one that was exceedingly dreadful. I want to know about the teeth in its mouth. I want to know about its claws It's nails of bronze that could tear apart and break down and destroy world empires. I want to know about the 10 horns. I want to know about the little horn that comes up among those 10 horns. So here's the explanation. Verse 23. The fourth beast shall be. Now this is not difficult to understand. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. It says the fourth beast shall be what? The fourth kingdom. It shall be different from all other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth. It shall trample it and break it in pieces. But how do you know where to begin counting? Daniel wants to know about the fourth beast. 1, 2, 3, 4. How do you know where to begin with number one? Well, in the book of Daniel, it's not only interesting, it's not only unique, but it's from the throne room of God Himself. He set this up so we wouldn't have to argue about it. We wouldn't have to debate about it. In Daniel 2, you find four kingdoms, undebatable in history, regardless of faith, regardless of faith boundaries, even outside of Christianity. All the other isms agree that when you start with the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, that kingdom was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. The bear that Daniel saw raised itself up on one side, represented the younger, stronger empire. It had three ribs in its mouth, and most scholars believe that represents the empires of Lydia and Egypt. And Babylon that had to be defeated by the Medes and Persians. We even have the story here in the book of Daniel, the Euphrates River being diverted and the Babylonians being defeated. But as you start with a Babylonian empire, it's not rocket science. Tremendous evidence suggests the rise and fall of these particular world empires in order, right on time, right on schedule. Just as Daniel saw the leopard-like beast that had four heads. In the book of Daniel, a little further over, it will identify that as the Grecian Empire, and it will identify the first king, and it will identify Alexander the Great as eventually dying, the kingdom being divided up among four different generals. And their names were Ptolemy, Cassander, Lysimachus, and somebody else I don't remember right now. But each detail of the story has proven to be true. But of the fourth beast, this would be the pagan Roman Empire, which has given itself over into the papal Roman Empire. And as Daniel was writing this, he was deeply troubled because of what would happen. One of the notable things was that as the empire would begin to grow, it would destroy three of the original 10 kingdoms. It may not mean very much to you, but if you are trying to establish authority, those three tribes that were plucked up or destroyed, all the descendants killed off, we know their names as the Ostrogoths, the Heruli, and the Vandals. Did I get that right? Close enough. It doesn't matter. They're gone. We don't remember. It says also that he would speak great words against the Most High. Now, typically, in evangelism, trying to establish the validity of the commandments and of the seventh-day Sabbath, this is a really good spot to prove that the Roman church changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And we have many, many authoritative quotes to show that. But as we move down through time, I think there's some things happening today in the world that you live in that Daniel may not have necessarily seen, but yet they are happening in our day. There's a direct assault today upon Christianity, period. Not just Seventh-day Adventists in exclusivity because we choose to observe the Seventh-day Sabbath, but upon Christianity in general. And one of the things that I've been trying to watch carefully and not really say a whole lot about, I still believe that this power in Scripture here is still alive and strong and has the same goals in mind today that Daniel wrote about way back here in the book of Daniel. Have you ever thought about how the devil gets work done? He's really good at getting other people to do his work for him. If the devil were to just show up in church, we would run him off. But if he can show up under some kind of disguise and even of religion, then I think his work is more impressive and he's able to get more done. Right now, Satan is working under the cloak and the disguise of religion, and he's working in America, and the end is much closer than we think. Now, there's a lot in this chapter, and I don't have time to finish it. But there are three texts I want to share. If it's true that the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, and the Grecians, and the pagan and papal Roman Empire have fulfilled every detail of their prophecy, can we say that the rest of the details of this chapter are to be fulfilled as well? Let me tell you where I'm going next. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be standing behind the pulpit in the Calhoun Church, sharing some thoughts for in memory of my good friend, Elder Johnny Cooper. Some of you may have known Elder Cooper. The last 5 years have been very rough for him. Parkinson's brings a lot of different pain, a lot of different types of pain. But I'm glad for what I'm going to share next. You and I may share a common bond this morning. I'm interested in the Babylonians and the Greeks and all of that. But I'm more interested in this right here. And if all of that is true, then this is true, what I'm going to read next. Watch this. Read verse 18 with me. It begins with a word, and I read this in several different translations, and the same word is always there. It's a three-letter word. But right in the middle of all this conflict with those beasts and those animals is the word but. It's an interesting word. Let me read all of the verse here. He says, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, and they shall possess the kingdom forever and even forever and ever. Who today is represented by the saints of God? We don't have to be ashamed of this. There's not a one of us today wishes to be sacrilegious or pious or pompous about our standing before God. But God sees you as the saints of God today. As a believer in Him, the scripture reading that was read today from Romans chapter 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart we believe unto salvation. You are going to possess the kingdom. Now, move down to verse 22. It's probably not going to happen today, although it could happen in a singular way. The only time in Scripture that expression Ancient of Days is used right here. He's talking about the judgment taking place. And he says, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. I get excited thinking about the saints possessing the kingdom. Toward the end of this chapter, in verse 27, it says, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people known as the saints of the Most High. Jesus said, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's an invitation for you. That kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And someday, all dominions shall serve and obey Him. You know, I started this week studying for this sermon, and I got sidetracked, but I'm still on it. I thought the Lord had put it on my heart to study about the words. And I wanted to prove that the words we speak can either contribute to our well-being or to our sickness. I wanted to prove that by speaking words of victory, it will help our health. Because I've had two or three weeks here where I didn't speak so much victory. And I want to correct that. But I ended up here in Daniel chapter 7 with some of the greatest words of victory of all time, from God Himself to us, to the people of God, that we are going to possess the kingdom. Jesus is coming soon. And at that funeral today, I'm going to tie some of this together. It's a privilege and an honor to serve the great God of heaven. And as you choose to serve and follow Him, I pray that you will have victory in your life, and we will study more further about the words that can bring healing to our mind and body. But as a foundation, I believe it's important, it's mandatory that we believe with all of our heart that we're part of God's kingdom. And someday things are going to be so much different than they are today.